Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
By the way,
the Nerd Hour.
Tattoos and touchdowns.
Best Sunny Show.
Masters of None.
360 on 420.
Welcome to the Cut Print Film Podcast.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by volume.
My time now.
It's time for Dutch and Royce. No! Get ready for Hippo Juice.
The Elvis and Albert Show.
The Cousin Joe Show.
It's High Society Radio.
Give it up for the DP.
You're listening to Atomicast.
It's all about me.
Shy kids.
Orange Room.
Warlock Radio!
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Obviously, I was... Oh, never mind. I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Would you mind taking Colin for a walk about 8?
Huh? That's 2,000 hours. Oh, yeah.
Now here's your host, that's Ashley, and this is...
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Antisocial Gamer Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. It's been a good week since I last spoke to you all. And basically, I have been doing nothing but playing Final Fantasy XIV. I'm not addicted. I just get up really early and go to bed really late because I've been playing it all day. I'll talk about that in a second and all my adventures in Final Fantasy, all the bits and pieces. Welcome to the show, ladies and gents. As usual, I go live at 9 p.m. UK time, which is 4 p.m. Eastern. In a couple of months, a month tomorrow, I think. Two months tomorrow, we have the third live event, MLR Live 3 at downtown Lakeland in Florida. I can't wait. Literally, I'm sort of scratching the walls, waiting to jump on a plane. So, yeah, it's April 25th in downtown Lakeland. Basically, we're teaming up with the Moxie LaFemme Burlesque Troupe, and we're going to entertain people, supposedly. It's going to be a great night. I can't wait. Supposedly, we started at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, roughly around that time. I'm not too sure what exactly is happening, because no one's told me yet. As soon as I do, I will tell you. Make sure you get yourself there. I'll give you the date. All you got to do is show up, and it's going to be a great night. Lots of fun, lots of entertainment, and scantily clad sexy women, which is my favourite. Other events. I've got my Pokemon Nationals. I'm sort of Half and half looking forward to, half and half not really fussed. I'm going to go, I mean, this has probably been my last Pokemon National because I just really can't be asked anymore. I will basically just go up, I'll go, yeah, I'm do my battles, add me a bit of fun, and then basically fuck off home again, pretty much. But yeah, no, I'm going to just go out and see my friends when I go up there. But yeah, so as well, other events, this coming Saturday, I'm looking forward to it, the Final Fantasy 14 event at the Loading Bar in London. And I say, yep, just sort of, you know, make my way there sometime in the afternoon and just, like, 5 hours of fun. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. It's going to be really, really good. I say, because I've been playing it, like, non-stop as well. But yeah, it's really fun game, which I'll talk about in a sec. But so we do have a new sponsor on the station, VaporMania.com. If you go to their website, they do like e-cigarettes and vapors and all that sort of stuff. All the, you know, I mean, I don't understand because I don't smoke or whatever, but I mean, people who do, you know what the fuck I'm trying to get across. Yeah, so we have a coupon code with them. If you add MLR in the coupon code when you go to pay for your order, you get 10% off. And really good stuff. I looked on the website right before I started doing the show, because I make sure I got it all right and looked at all the things. It does really good stuff if you're into that sort of thing. But I don't smoke, so, you know, you lot go nuts. But yeah, so yeah, MLR in the coupon is the coupon code that we have been asked to use. And you get 10% off your order. And it's good stuff, basically. Go and check them out. It's vapormania.com. You know, just chuck it into Google, you'll find it. But yeah, so yeah, tons of stuff to talk about now. Basically, my adventures in Eorzea, as usual, which will probably be for the next couple of weeks. But yeah, I have literally been going nuts with the Final Fantasy talk. Final Fantasy talk, Final Fantasy crafting. There's just literally so much to do, really. I'm having time, even though some of the shit is boring as fuck, I'm still having tons of fun. I mean, literally, I'm on holiday from work for the next 5 days until next Monday. So basically, I'm just sitting on my sofa, staring at a screen, literally trying to watch every sort of TV show imaginable that I've ever watched on my laptop, or listen to all the kind of music and whatever shows that I can get able to listen to, and just go sort of crazy, because while I'm sort of sitting here crafting fucking bronze ingots and fucking mining for zinc ore and shit like that, because that's pretty much all I'm up to at the moment, to be honest. But yeah, I'm trying to spread myself out, because literally I've got a whole bunch of quests to do, and it's weird. It's literally, there's so much stuff to talk about and tell you about this game, and I have no fucking clue where I'm going to start. We'll go through the story stuff first. So I love this game so much. It's so much fun. Story stuff, yes. I'm going through the story. I'm not that fussed about the story, to be honest. The big stuff I am, you know, I'm concerned about, but there's so many throwaway quests. I mean, I'm just trying to get my level up at the moment. That's basically it. I mean, at level 26, I just hit before I started recording. But a couple of hours ago, I was watching other stuff. But yeah, I'm trying to get my level up so I can get to level 30, which means I'll get the quest that gives me my job crystal, which basically turns my Thermitage into a black mage. Basically, it's more powerful or whatever. But yeah, I say I'm doing that. I'm, you know, trying to get as much XP from quests. I'm doing every sort of quest I imagine. I mean, I was told when I was sort of looking into the characters and development of how I wanted my character to be, was that I should basically just have, save all the little quests or whatever for my other jobs. But I mean, I'm not that fussed about doing anything. I mean, my main focus for what I'm doing is like, I want to level up. I've leveled up my archer, which has to be at level 15 before I can access my job crystal quest. So I level that up straight away. My Thermitage is 26, 4 more levels to go. But I say I'm not interested in any other jobs until I get to this lot at level 50. But I mean, there's other stuff I want to do. I want, like, all my crafting. I want to get to level 50 or as high so I can get it at the moment. I've been watching like a video, and they said about this guy said get you all your job stuff to level 15, where you can use these cross class actions, which basically makes you can basically craft higher quality items, and you get more XP from it. So basically helps you level up your jobs, your crafting quicker. So I'm like, okay, that's good. helps me out a ton. But yeah, I say I've been going through the story. It's the usual calamity, basically. You're an adventurer in this world called Eorzea. I'm not sure if that's the world or the continent. I'm not too sure. I haven't paid too much attention. I'm just sort of having fun and just admiring how amazing it's and how much scope is in this. But yeah, I say, fuck it. I'm trying to think now. Yeah, no. Going through much of the story, I've gone through the main section. What was, I believe, from what I've heard, is the main part of most of the actual initial game that we got. I've beat my first primal, which is basically like your summons. If anyone remembers, like Final Fantasy VIII, where you have to go to a cavern to fight Ifrit, it's pretty much the same thing for what I did. I went to some place, I got double crossed, I had to fight Ifrit, and it's like it was an instance battle, so it was like four of us. Literally, it was a pain in the ass because our healer dropped because basically you have to have one tank, two DPS, which I was one of. A healer, and basically our healer dropped and we just couldn't, you know, it just sort of glitched on us, so we had to sort of mess around and then find a new healer, but then we did it. I mean, I watched, because I didn't want to fuck up, so basically I was on YouTube watching videos of the Ifrit fight, and it's very simple actually. It's basically just smash the fuck out of him, then this nail thing appears on the floor, and then you have to hit that, and then basically just keep hitting the shit out of him, and that's it really. But yeah, I say, that's what I like about being sort of the DPS, because I don't have to worry about anything. I can just literally sort of just cast, you know, fire at ice literally over and over again. That's all I fucking do. I think I'm supposed to get protect at some point, but I haven't got that spell yet. But I think, I don't know, maybe. But yeah, I'm sort of just having fun blowing shit up with my character and, you know, having tons and tons of fun with it. But yeah, I say, you know, beat the primal. And it basically opened up a whole load of stuff for me to do. It opened up my Grand Company stuff, which is basically, there's like three nations in this continent bit that I'm on. And basically you choose one and then you get to do missions and stuff like that. And you get, you have to hunt, get these guild seals, which basically you can get and use them as a form of currency. And then you can buy weapons and gear, and which is basically what I need at the moment, because where my character is, where my character is, I'm looking on the market board, the auction house, for the gear that I want, and there's nothing there that suits my level apart from this sort of stuff, or unless I get from dungeons. I'm like, well, I might as well just start farming all these seal stuff at the moment, and then just do all these quests, get XP from it to help level up, get seals. It all goes hand in hand to help me get better at the job and get better in the game. So basically, I'm trying to get all these seals that I need to get my the gear that I need, and then I can get promoted. Because in the Grand Companies, there's like ranks and stuff, and it's like, well, I mean, to get promoted for the first time, you need like 2,000 seals. So I had to get like 2,000 seals to get my mounts, which I'll talk about in a second. But yeah, get the seals, get promoted, and then just keep getting more and more seals, more and more XP. And, you know, keep doing this, and it should get me up to level 50. I want to say no time, but literally it's going to take a lot of, you know, me just doing these same old quests, which I don't mind, because I'm still getting tons and tons of XP, and it's helping me level up. So I literally just sit here and do the same amount of quests and guild leaves and stuff over and over again until I get to the max level, which is 50 at the moment. And then once I get to that, I can start doing other stuff. But yeah, I got the quest which unlocks my mount, so I got to ride a chocobo, which is really cool. I mean, I got, because I bought the collector's edition, so I got like the sort of cat thing as a, it's like riding a fucking leopard. Yeah, I got that, and I got my fat chocobo, which is very cute and adorable, and it's this great big fat yellow chocobo bird, and it's really cute. But yeah, I say, you know, sort of, I've made little videos of that. I need to post them on the Facebook page. But it's like, you know, it's this great big fat chocobo, and you're holding onto a sort of like a fishing pole with a cabbage hanging off it, and the chocobo's trying to chase after it as it's running, and it's just really, really funny. But yeah, I got my main chocobo from joining the Grand Company as well. Basically, get 2,000 seals to unlock all the mount stuff. I got that. I did get a couple of minions, little pets. I got this little cat and little dog, little puppy, which are really adorable as well. And I'm sort of all nuts for trying to collect all the minions, all the little pets and stuff. All the ones I can, anyway. This game is so much fun. It's like literally so much to do, and which I'm glad I'm off for a week, because I just literally sit down and, you know, just do it all, basically. What else have I done? Oh, yeah, I say crafting. I am nuts for the crafting. I'm trying to get my level up with the crafting, make high-level gear. It's going okay. I'm trying to sort of make high-quality stuff that helps me get high quality stuff. I mean, there's gear that you wear which it basically increases your chance of getting. I mean, because it's with the crafting, it's like, okay, you get these control points which are basically lets you use the special buttons that make your gear better, and then you sort of, they're like safeties and, you know, bonuses and stuff like that. They sort of put that onto your item that you're crafting. And then there's other different bits and pieces that work the stats and make it better. But yeah, all this gear helps me with that, makes it better for me. So basically, I'm trying to make that, and half the stuff keeps breaking, and it's just sort of, it's one big grind. It's literally, I'm sort of either in one city, just outside it, trying to farm copper ore and tin ore to get the ingots that I need, or I'm in one other place trying to get animal skins and animal hides and just various other things. It's costly. I mean, I've literally spent about I'm sitting at nearly 40,000 gil at the moment, so I've only spent like 5,000, so it's not that much, but it's sort of, it's a pain because it's sort of money that I don't really want to waste, but I don't want to get too absorbed into the crafting because I'm still early in the game and I've still got a lot ahead of me, and it's just tricky, it really is. But yeah, as I said, sort of when I do crafting, I'm sort of, you know, watching stuff on my laptop, and I'm sitting here with like spreadsheets and index catalogues for like, okay, this animal, this I can make pie dough, and I make it by using this, and there's a guide from a culinarian who says, well, if you use this and then you make that together, you get experience points from each time you make it, and then you add it for this, and it's just one big crazy mess of basically just making stuff to get your experience points. And I do need to sit down and sort of craft stuff, all from my my books, my crafting journals, to get more experience, because every time you do something that's new, you get experience for that. And it's just so much time to sit here. And say the money as well. I'd rather wait till I'm like later in the levels. That way I can get better and better stuff. But it's one of those things. It's sort of, you need to make the money to get the money, or get the money to make the money. It's just one of those, you know, circular type problems, basically. But yeah, I say I am having tons and tons of fun with it. I really am. What else am I doing? Oh, just killed a fly. Trying to get my level up, Grand Companies. Just looking through my notes here. Learning the hotbar stuff. I mean, even though I'm playing on a controller, I am getting the basic gist of what I'm supposed to do and how to set up the hotbar with, you know, various commands and put stuff. I mean, I assigned my Mount Chocobo icon to it, but yeah, I'm getting the hang of it and buttons. I mean, I was in a did a instance the other day, and I'm like, well, I don't. They were saying about that I was using the wrong type of communication because I was saying something instead of doing it in a party chat, and I was like, well, how the fuck do I do this? I had no clue. I'm sort of, you know, not freaking out, but it's like, well, it doesn't really matter because we're the only ones in this doing this duty at the moment. But yeah, that, you know, that was tons of fun. Just say, there's so much stuff to do in this game, and, you know, but Gold Saucer. We got the Gold Saucer. There was an update to it today. We got 2.5.1, the Gold Saucer update, and it gave us a bunch of quests and stuff like that to do. But yeah, the Gold Saucer is really fun, and it was quite funny. I mean, the patch that we got today was from about UK time. It was like 5 o'clock till 10. But literally about 9 o'clock ish, I'm sort of like, well, we've got about an hour to go. So I'm scanning all the different boards and forums that I know of, trying to see if anyone's in there already or whatever. But yeah, it was quite fun. I sort of like, I log into the game It takes about 10 minutes to update it. I get this new patch, and it's like, logged in, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, one of the few people in the world, in my city anyway. And I'm sort of looking around, it's like, wow, I've never seen it so quiet. It's like when you go to a shopping centre, sort of first thing in the morning on a sort of Sunday, when it's like first open, and literally there's like nobody around. And it was like that, it was quite cool. And then basically, it's like, go to the quest, see this guy, gives you a quest, says, well, okay, here you go to the gold saucer, here's your ticket. And basically, it was literally watching hundreds of different players all run to the same thing, because it was like, well, that's the thing, that's why I've started to realise that when I'm running about to certain places and there's somebody there, and normally when there's no quest, there's nobody there, and I'm watching other players do the same sort of stuff. Because literally, I mean, the thing with this, there's new players joining all the time, and I'm surprised. I mean, I'm sort of getting annoyed at the moment because I'm getting all these friend requests from people, but they're all like they've smashed their face into the keyboard to come up with their names. Because they're like RMTers, and I'm like, well, I don't need any real money because I'm doing fine with what I've got. I already did the real money thing with Final Fantasy XI. I only played that for like a month. I say these friend requests, I want them from real people and not just like guild spammers. But I would say maybe I should, you know, just sort of, you know, accept their friend request, and then when they come to, you know, ask about real money stuff, just report them to the gym or something. I don't know. Something like that, just to keep the game clean and pure. But yeah, so I'll go back to talking about the gold saucer. And yeah, basically, got this guy's quest. He says, go to the airship landing. Went there, and it says, well, okay, get on the airship to go to the gold saucer. And I tried to go on the gold saucer before the show started to go live, and it said it was completely full. And I was like, fucking hell. Because literally, I mean, there was hundreds of us in there this morning. When it first opened, and literally just sort of, it reminded me of Pinocchio, when near the end when the kids go to that amusement place before they get turned into donkeys, spoilers. It was like that. There's like a great big rush of all these different characters going to all these different people, getting all their quests, and it was quite manic. It was great fun to watch as well. Because the gold saucer is a great big place, and I got lost completely, same as everyone else, because pretty much it all looks the same. There's like rooms for this and that. There's one that's like a mountain in it, which I think you can climb to the top and you get something. I don't know, maybe. I didn't get that far. I had fun on different amusements. Like there was the basketball game, which I got two buckets and I won some money from. I mean, to be honest, it's sort of bullshit in a way, because the money you win is fuck all. The only thing I can see, because... I mean, I'll go into the game. So, I mean, there's like a grabbing machine, which I won some money on. There was a basketball game I won some money on. There's a punching machine, which didn't do anything, even though I thought I was timing it right. Obviously, wasn't. What else is there? There's like just sort of various other little fun mini game stuff that basically people are going to play once and never play again because they're sort of completely pointless. I mean, I'm hoping they add more games because, I mean, for such a big space. I think it's probably got to be that big for to accumulate all the players, and accommodate all the players. But I was hoping it would be more like what we got from Final Fantasy VII. There would be, I don't know, maybe the submarine game, the snowboarding game would be fun. I don't know. I mean, this game's still nearly 2 years old, and you know we've still got years and years ahead of us. Maybe they can add something new later on, but it would be nice if there was, other stuff, to do in the gold saucer. But I mean, yeah, the making the money stuff is a pain in the ass because literally make bugger all. I mean, there's fun stuff like lottery tickets and cash stuff, which I'm looking forward to, sort of, you know, jackpots and stuff, like, you know, you can win loads of money from inside the casino. But I mean, just the only thing with the sort of making money in there is that you want the gear that's in there. There's like different outfits, there's mounts and all sorts of stuff. It's sort of like, you know, Dave and Buster's, where you get your tickets from, you know, playing on the games, that sort of stuff, and then you can trade them in for items. It's basically that. It's sort of, you've got your real money, your gil, and you change it for MGP, the money for the gold saucer. And basically you go in, change it over, and then you basically just buy what you want. There's like a couple of mounts and some pets and bits and pieces. Basically a whole bunch of stuff that I want, but as I say, I'm not at that stage in the game where I can start making tons and tons of money. I will be soon, hopefully, but at the moment I'm sort of on the sidelines for that sort of stuff. But yeah, I say it's like an event arena, which I'm not too sure if there's going to be something going on there. I mean, even though we have got it and it's accessible and all this sort of stuff, we don't really know too much about what we're going to do in that place. I mean, yes, you have the mini games and then your items and the cat pots, which is the lottery thing. But apart from that, there's not much. I don't know. There's not much to do, to be honest, when it comes to to do that. I mean, it might get old very quickly. That's my main worry. I was like, well, as I said, it's like, well, we could basically just go in there with our so much gil, change it over to the money for the gold saucer, buy those items that we need, and then basically leave again, and no one would have anything to do. I mean, they have the chocobo races, and there was a quest that I had to do for that. It was like, well, pick a chocobo, go here, go there, and there. And I'm like, well, I will do the chocobo racing stuff when later in the game, because I'm going to say, I'm not too sure about the breeding stuff. I mean, I think that's like a new thing we've only got today. So any races that we are going to get from the chocobos will be pretty shit ones. So I'll wait until we get, I don't know, like people breeding chocobos. I mean, I'm sort of hoping that, I think it's Nelia, who was she was on Limit Break Radio years and years ago, like when they had like Final Fantasy XI focused episode on chocobo racing and breeding and stuff. Hopefully they'll do something like that with her again and, you know, go into it for me, so that way I can start breeding and, you know, getting better and better chocobos. But we'll wait and see. What else? I'm just trying to think now. That might be it. I mean, I literally so much stuff. I mean, I'm just trying to think of what ways they can improve the game. Because, I mean, it does feel, I mean, as I'm playing this, I'm sort of, I mean, I watched a couple of episodes before the show started of Sword Art Online, which is the MMO anime focused thing. But yeah, I was sort of comparing the anime with the game and bits and pieces. I'm just sort of thinking there has to be a way to make it more feel more, not probably just realistic. I mean, even though when I got to the Gold Saucer and it's literally there was shout messages popping up all over the place saying how much fun this is and people enjoying playing Triple Triad, which I haven't got. I've got some cards because there was a question, so go here, get some cards, and then just do whatever, basically. But yeah, I say, It did feel like it was alive, that there was a big buzz, but I think it's because everyone's at different stages in the game. There needs to be something that affects us all at the same time. Whereas, you know, I mean, with 1.0 for Final Fantasy XIV, there was the Calamity and it basically just destroyed the game. And then we got this one, A Realm Reborn, and it basically made everything new again. But it's just, I don't know. I really love the game, and I've got months and years ahead of me playing this thing. I mean, because I'm sort of happy where I am at the moment. I know I've got to get my rank up, get more seals. I just basically just grind away at this whole game to get my level up, get my Grand Company rank up, get all the gear, get my skills and crafting up. Just basically so much stuff to do. But yeah, I say there has to be a... I don't know. Maybe I'm looking forward to some of the events that we're getting, because I missed the Valentioni's one because I fucking hate romance. I don't think it was romance. I think there was only decent items. I think there's a firework that makes like a heart or something stupid shit like that. But I mean, I'm looking forward to the Easter one, then Summer Festival, and you know the Christmas one when that comes around again, because there's some good gear that I've heard you can get from that. But yeah, I mean, just getting into the game now. There's so much stuff to head and so much time for me to play. I mean, I know I'm supposed to be picking up Dying Light this week, because it comes out, I think it comes out this week, if we're finally getting it, that is. But I might put off on that for a few weeks, because I'm really buzzing on my Final Fantasy at the moment. And, you know, I mean, I'm not as logging in as much as I used to be, like past couple of weeks. Even though I'm off, I play for a couple of hours and I take a break, because otherwise I'm just sort of sitting here bored at my skull and my, you know, getting a headache, just sort of staring at this screen all day while I'm sort of crafting, that sort of stuff. But yeah, I say Final Fantasy XIV, it is a really fun game. It really is. I say, anyone wants to pick it up, play it, just you know, send me a message or whatever. I'm playing on the old Phoenix server. A bunch of French people there from what I've been hearing, but, you know, some decent people. It's a really fun game and worth playing. I mean, it's really cheap anyway for yearly subscription. And, you know, if you don't want to buy the collector's edition, just buy a normal one. That's pretty cheap too. And, yeah, this game's a lot of fun. And that's what I was going to say. I joined a guild, the Omega Knights, on Phoenix. Their headquarters, amazing. Lovely, great big house. Load of shit in the garden, like ornaments and stuff, and it does look really nice. I'll have to do some screenshots of it. But yeah, I joined the guild. I haven't done anything with them. I mean, I've seen like the their chat messages pop up. Like everyone's just sort of like an open forum, so they're just sort of chatting and stuff. I'm sort of keeping quiet because, you know, I mean the group's got like 200 members in it, and I'm like, well, I just sort of no need to talk to anyone at the moment because there's nothing I need doing. Not until like later levels if I try like Coil or whatever the places that I'm supposed to go to for the end game stuff. But at the moment, I'm sort of, you know, I've done one primal fight. I've got two more to go for the main story. There's extreme mode, sort of hard modes and extreme modes. And none of that's a big problem for me at the moment because I'm just sort of focusing on my character gets as best as he can be when he gets the levels. And then I've got to get all my item gear and just so much stuff to do. And, you know, there's no rush, basically. I want to get it done so that way I can sort of be on everyone else's level, which is what I'm trying to do. I mean, I'm looking at all the different quests and different, you know, different jobs and stuff, trying to get them as high as possible. I mean, trust me, I think about all the other jobs in the game. I might even bother just doing that. I'll just sort of stick with my Black Mage when I get it, get that to 50, and then not worry about any other sort of jobs because, I mean, I do find it awkward. I mean, I say watching all these videos about different bosses and stuff like that, and like, well, people like the healers and the tanks, it's like they have so much work to do. Whereas me, I'm playing as a Black Mage. Well, I will be. I just sort of had to sit here, press this button, and then aim here and hit here. And then, you know, maybe other DPS classes would be more interested in for me. You know, Dragoon or Sorcerer. I think Summoner. I think that's a DPS class. But yeah, I mean, Monk or Bard, something like that. Maybe, yeah. But I mean, it's okay at the moment. I'm happy doing what I'm doing and having tons of fun with it. But I say, yeah, Final Fantasy XIV, a really good game. And I know I'm doing the show now, but I'd rather be playing the game than doing the show. But it's just because there's so much stuff that I want to do to make up for lost time from this morning when I was like offline for 5 hours while I was doing an update. But yeah, I say it's a really fun game and I can't rave about it enough. And literally, that's pretty much all you're going to be hearing from me for the next couple of weeks until I sort of calm down a bit on it, probably, if that's the best word to use. But, I mean, it is a really good game, and I am having tons and tons of fun just, you know, crafting and meeting people. But, yeah, I say it's really good. I am enjoying it tons and tons. But, so, yeah, I talked about that. I don't really have a topic for this week. But basically, I'll just go straight into the news. So literally, I'm over halfway through, over half an hour into the show already. So basically, we'll get some news out because I've got tons and tons of news. There's just so much stuff going on at the moment. Some good stuff, bad stuff, and some pretty creepy stuff as well. We're going to the Xbox stuff. There's not much on the old individual console stuff this week, but there's so much stuff on pretty much everything else. World of Tanks is from Eurogamer. World of Tanks to roll out on Xbox One. The new version will allow cross-platform play with the game's Xbox 360 edition and will be kept updated at the same pace. User accounts will also be shared between versions, meaning that existing 360 players will be able to carry over their account and continue where they left off. Xbox Live Gold members are able to download World of Tanks for free, then choose to buy additional items via the in-game purchases. There's also a 7-day trial for non-gold subscribers. I mean, I've heard this game's pretty good. I mean, a mate of mine at work is playing this, and he's literally going nuts over it. He sort of half plays this and half plays Destiny, so basically he's swapping his time out. I mean, I'd get into this, but I don't mind tank combat. I mean, I think there was a great tank mission. I think it was in, was it Call of Duty 3? I think it was Call of Duty 3. One of the Call of Duties anyway. I mean, it was a very simple mission. It's sort of like, you know, roll here, shoot that, shoot that, shoot that. Whereas I mean, there was like a tank multiplayer map in Grand Theft Auto, in the online bit, and it was like everyone was in a tank and then basically just blowing each other up. It's fun. It's just not something that I could see myself playing again and again. It's why I don't really get. I say because I am playing Final Fantasy 14. It's why I don't really get PvP with the whole player versus player stuff for things that are so slow paced. Whereas, you know, with stuff like Call of Duty, Destiny, I mean, yes, World of Tanks, it's fast because you're in a vehicle, in movement, all that sort of stuff. But it's like, well, he's firing at me and he's got like one gun and it's just like a cannon and stuff like that. Whereas your stuff like Destiny and Call of Duty, it's like, well, I've got like a machine gun, I have a sniper rifle, I have several different guns, I have grenades, all that sort of stuff. I think it's like the more stuff that makes it more fast paced. Whereas tanks, it's okay, roll here, shoot. It's one of those things. It's really, you know, I don't know. It's just beyond my scope of actual how I like to play games, really. Right, what else we got? But yeah, I mean, the game's pretty fun from what I've been hearing. So if you're into that sort of thing, pick it up, I say. Here we go from Nintendo. Gold Mario Amiibo to be Walmart exclusive in the US. Nintendo's limited edition Gold Mario Amiibo will be exclusively available in Walmart in the US. The special statue has yet to be formally announced by Nintendo, but has been spotted in a Walmart poster for the forthcoming Mario Party 10. Before that, Gold and Silver Mario Amiibo figures were first outed by listings on Nintendo's own support website, which have now been removed. Nintendo has yet to detail how and when the figures will be available in Europe. I forgot to type properly. There is a US announcement. This quote is so terrible. So yeah, I'm reading a quote and it's just trying to piece it together because it's been poorly typed up, or it just doesn't make sense. Nothing to announce, basically, in US announcement. We have nothing to announce at the present for the European market. A Nintendo UK spokesperson told Eurogamer today. It'll be the first time that Nintendo has released a special edition version of an Amiibo that simply features alternate colouring. Well, I'm surprised it'll be the first time Nintendo has released a special edition version of an Amiibo. The Amiibo's only just come out. They haven't been out that long. Otherwise, the statue is identical to Mario figurine as available as part of the Super Mario Amiibo line. Nintendo yesterday announced that, 5.7 million Amiibo figures have now shipped worldwide. Wow, holy fuck, that's a lot. And gullible people will be buying them. I'm tempted to get some of the stuff. I do like some of the Disney Infinity stuff, and it's because it's like, well, there's Spider-Man there and like a bunch of other of the characters. I like them for some of the characters, but I wouldn't buy stuff I didn't know. I'd never get into Skylanders, mainly because it's for little kids. But I don't know, I'd probably buy one with Spyro on it if you can get one with Spyro. I have no clue about Skylanders or any of this sort of stuff. It's a gold Amiibo. If it's coming out into Walmart in the US, but basically means we'll probably get into Asda over here because Asda is part of the Walmart family, franchise, whatever you want to say. But yeah, I say these figures are cool, but I just sort of, I have no interest in picking them up. But I say I do really need to pick up a Wii U. I really do. But so as I'm playing Final Fantasy 14, my time for playing other stuff is diminished. I mean, I downloaded, I was going to say Transcendence, but I don't think that's what it's called. The latest PlayStation 4 free-to-play game that we got for this month. I'm not too sure what you do with it. I downloaded it, so I'll play it probably tomorrow or something. But it looks quite fun. But let's move on to some more stuff. One sec. Oh, maybe. Helps if I click on the right thing. Here we go. Yeah, Sony stuff. Capcom insists that the PlayStation 4 action RPG Deep Down is still alive. We haven't seen anything of the game since its 2014 Tokyo Game Show trailer. What was it, something last year? It's only a few months ago. I mean, it's literally March on Sunday, and we've got GDC next week or this week, and there's just a whole bunch of conventions literally which will blitz come around. I mean, E3's in what, June? All this shit's going to come around, so we don't have that much time. But you say we haven't seen anything on the game since 2014 at the Tokyo Game Show. And some have wondered whether Capcom has decided to cancel its development in order to focus on the recently revealed Dragon's Dogma Online, which appears to be much closer to release. But a new interview, which was though, I'm just trying to think, who's not Capcom, is it? It's Team Ico. Sorry, I'm thinking out loud. But yeah, a new interview with Japanese website Full Gamer. Capcom's Yoshinori Ono has said deep down was still in development, but has undergone a change. It looks like Deep Down will take just a little longer, Ono said. It also looks like some people are starting to ask, did development come to a halt? But it's nothing like that. We're thinking about showing something that looks completely different from what previously shown, although it might be a while from now. That pretty much says to me that they've sort of scrapped it, but restarted it. I mean, I liked what it was. I mean, we didn't get to see much. I mean, I've seen, like, I think one trailer of, like, a dragon breathing fire down the hallway and these knights are running around. And it does look like a fun game. I mean, it does look very fun. That's what's getting me. It's like, well, I don't know. Maybe it's too early. I'm just sort of, you know, I'm thinking out loud again. I mean, we've had the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One for a couple of years now. Is it a year and a half? And we were promised all these games that are supposed to come out. We saw, you know, Deep Down. We saw for the PlayStation doing that big thing event at E3, I think it was like last year or the year before. About that old man, the sorcery game. Where's that? Whatever Microsoft have given us that we don't know about. There's stuff like that. I mean, I was actually thinking about Jonathan Blow and his game that he's talking about that he's been working for a couple of years now. Where the hell's that? That game hasn't surfaced anywhere. No one's asking about that. But I don't know. It's just like there's so much stuff that's to come out that we've been shown, and it's like, well, it's I mean, we are getting a bit impatient. I mean, I'm not fast. I say I've got Final Fantasy 14, but we are getting impatient when it comes to stuff that we want. I mean, it's like, well, Where's this game? You showed it to us, so basically it has to be somewhere along the line of development. But, I mean, we can say that, but then when you go, well, look at The Last Guardian. They've showed that trailer so many times, and we don't know about that either. I mean, they say it's okay, but we might not be. We don't know, and I don't know. It's just one of those things. But I'll carry on finishing on this article. It's unclear how exactly Deep Down has changed since it was unveiled in 2013 as part of a stunning tech demo for Capcom's new Panta Ray engine. But what is clear, going on Ono's comments, what had been made wasn't up to scratch. So basically, they take it back to square one. So we might get something. If we don't get something at E3, we must get something at Tokyo Game Show this year. Even though that's not till, like, you know, September. I think that's September, yeah. Around that sort of time, because then it's all sort of, everyone keeps quiet for Christmas, and in New Year you have GEC and CES, all those sort of stuff at the beginning of the year. The idea we have for the game are much larger now compared to when we first announced it, he revealed. Rather, the ideas we had before might not have been good enough. When it comes to the service of online games, it's a long-term challenge, so we must make sure to do the necessary parts correctly at launch of the service. Otherwise, it'd be a shame to have an amusing game and not any players stick around. She says, we're looking back at the previous ideas we had for Deep Down. We felt concerns about not being able to capture an audience as we would have liked, so it was decided to give it more time so that we can further enhance it. I mean, this is basically sounds like he sort of sat down, looked at what he had, what he was making, looked at what everyone else was making. I'm like, well, they're pretty much all the same. I think he was sort of intimidated slightly by the the Dark Souls games, that sort of stuff, and worried about Skyrim, and you know, it's sort of seeming like that. And maybe, I don't know, but I don't know. I'm looking forward to seeing what we get from Deep Down, but I hope Deep Down doesn't go the way of oh god, now I can't remember the fucking game's title. Anyway, Prey 2. Yeah, I mean, that looked pretty good. It looked like sort of what you had from that Jango Fett Bounty Hunter game that was on the PlayStation 2 and GameCube from like 10 years ago, where you could sort of hunt down criminals. Hopefully this doesn't go that same way, where it was like Prey 2, where that game got scrapped and cancelled. We want this. I mean, if it was just a tech demo, it was a nice looking tech demo. I mean, it really was. This where I'm sort of hoping this still comes out, but they maybe not should have not just put a title on it, just made up some tech footage. I mean, like we get with the Unreal Engine, they sort of every couple of years with a new update, new engine, we get some sort of new CG trailer that's made using the engine, all that sort of stuff. But I don't know. Deep Down was scheduled for release on PlayStation 4 at some point in 2015. With a beta set for Japan, but the beta was cleared and Capcom's energy appears to have shifted to Dragon Age. Dragon's Dogma Online. Neither games have been confirmed Western launches. As of last year, Deep Down was set in both 1494, where you delve down into dungeons and fight horrible great monsters as a knight in shining armor, and futuristic New York, circa 2094. I'm looking forward to this game. I really am. I mean, I want it. I want to play it. I want to, you know, experience what it's all about, because it does look really fun. And it does seem easier than basically all the Dark Souls games, which I'm hoping for, because even though the Dark Souls games are fun, they are bloody hard. Okie dokie, let's go through more Sony stuff. Here we go, yeah. Sony's big new 3-year strategy bets on PlayStation 4. Electronics giant Sony has outlined a new 3-year strategy for a return to profitability. There we go. After a series of huge losses, and PlayStation is central to that plan. Sony today held a crucial corporate strategy meeting, which it said that it would give the various divisions within the group more autonomy in a bid to reach 500 billion yen, which is £2.7 billion, in earnings during the 2017 financial year. Each of Sony's businesses will be classified as growth driver, stable profit generator, or area focusing on if I'm stumbling over words, it's not even worth saying. But yeah, it's just poor management stuff. I'm looking at it here, what it reads like. The game and network service business of which PlayStation is a part falls under the growth drivers category. This continues as a little surprise following PlayStation 4's stunning sales success. It sold 18 million units since it's going on sale in November 2013. Yeah, so basically it's about a year and a half, pretty much. In November, with around half of PlayStation owners subscribing to PlayStation Plus, so there's more money in the bank for that. As a part of the new plan, Sony intends to expand the installed user base of the PlayStation platform and the highly profitable PlayStation Network. A PlayStation Plus subscription, which costs £40 a year, is required for multiplayer gaming on the PlayStation 4, which I need to check when mine runs out, because it's got to be pretty soon, to be honest. Other businesses classified as growth drivers include devices, the CMOS image sensors, pictures and music. Stable profit generators are imaging products and solutions, cameras and video and sound. Now onto the noisy step and area focusing on the bit I couldn't say. Many attribute Sony high profile financial troubles to its smartphone and TV business. As you'd expect, the TV and mobile communication division falls into this category. Yeah, who has a Sony phone? Everyone's either iPhone or Samsung, which is basically what I have. Just double checking it. Samsung. Sony will place the highest profit priority on curtailing risk and securing profits in the operation of these businesses, as said in a note issued today. Since both markets are expanding, experiencing intense cost competition and commoditization, there we go. Sony will strive to further increase the added value of its products by leveraging its in-house technologies and component devices. By carefully selecting the territories and product areas it targets, Sony will seek to limit its capital investment and establish a business structure capable of securing stable profits. So yeah, so basically, if the phones are doing shit in one country, they won't focus too much on those phones in that country. Basically, same for TVs and all the stuff they're failing on. But, you know, it's one of those weird things with Sony. I mean, I sort of see Sony as like a Sega. The fact that Sega's doing really shit at the moment, their main icon hasn't been... No one's really given a shit about in about 10, 20 years. I mean, I was watching one of the bits from Saturday Night Live. It was when Mike Myers did his Dr. Evil for opening the show for a few weeks ago. And, you know, something about Sony hasn't been successful since the Walkman, which is true. I mean, they flopped with the Discman because that was a piece of shitty technology and no one wanted. I mean, the only thing they have got that's good for them is the PlayStation. You know, PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3, and now the PlayStation 4. You know, PlayStation 4, sounding like gangbusters. You know, that's sort of where you need to focus, but it's weird when it comes to technology. I mean, I don't want to get into a rant about this, but technology can only go so far. There's only so much you can do for stuff. I mean, yes, I mean, you know, you go back 100 years ago, you know, people had phones, you know, landlines, were, you know, that was it. Now we have mobile phones, and phones can send text and pictures, and there's so much more you can do with phones, and it's only been 100 years. What can be improved upon? Because basically, I mean, a phone's like an all-purpose, multi-purpose device these days, whereas, you know, 100 years ago, a phone was basically, it was a phone. It was attached to the wall. It was, you know, fucking rotary dials. That's what we were dealing with back in the day, you know, operators and stuff. You know, it's none of that shit now. But yeah, I say, you know, where Sony goes with all this sort of stuff is, I don't know, it's somewhere to be seen and wondered. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. I'll carry on reading anyway because there's still more to this article. Since both markets are experiencing intense cost and competition, commoditization, there we go. I've read that bit, and I, yes, so I fucked up that word twice. In other words, Sony will scale back its operations in here to boost profitability and hasn't ruled out of selling off its TV and mobile units. Which, you know, the mobile phone stuff, you might as well just do. TV stuff, I don't know. So everyone makes TVs. It's sort of the Wall Street crash of technology, really. The fact that everyone's got a phone, you don't need to keep making stuff. Or how can you make it better? And, you know, what's the end point? It's like I talked about years ago when I started doing the show about, you know, the technology and the gaming is like, where is it all going to go? Where are we going to hit a roadblock on how good we're going to get the graphics, how good we're going to get the sound and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, technology is, it's, you know, you got, what's it, 4K TVs and stuff like this and 3D TVs and, you know, I don't know. We'll see where it's going. But, yeah, as a note, Sony wants to focus on what it's calling recurring revenue business models built on solid customer foundations and business platforms. PlayStation has already managed to do this with the money it makes from the PlayStation Network, and is keen to replicate the success in other parts of the company. Well, yeah, you've got to think about how you're going to do that, though. As mentioned, Sony plans to sequentially split out the business into business units currently within Sony Corporation. It did this with its TV business last year, and a video and sound business unit is next. Basically, it's October 1st here. Split out business units will then launch as self-sustained, wholly owned subsidiaries. Each business unit includes those that aren't subsidiaries, with benefit from clearly amicable accountability and responsibility. Management policies as with an emphasis on sustainable profit generation. And it's basically just bullshit for saying, well, we want to make lots of money on this stuff, but we don't want to make shitty stuff. We want to make the good stuff that people want. And if we do make the people want, they'll buy it, which is good for us. And if they don't, then we're making the wrong stuff. Pretty much it, basically. The pressure has been on Tony Boss Kazurai for some time now to return the iconic Japanese business company to something approaching its former glory. It expects to report a net loss. It's sixth in 7 years for the current financial year, despite operating profit forecast of 20 billion yen, which is 109 million pounds. Yeah, I mean, as I say, I go back to the Mike Myers sketch. Sony hasn't been profitable since the Walkman. I mean, that's the thing. Every other technology has come out. I mean, you know, I don't know. It's hard to sort of point stuff. I mean, because look, so about phones. Phones you got with Samsung, Apple, iPods, MP3 players, Apple, TVs. I mean, I've got a fucking Panasonic TV. DVD players. I mean, you know, if you've got a gaming console, you've got a DVD player. That's the thing. There's very narrow margins. It's very, you know, sort of doggy dog society with how top technology is going at the moment. It's like, well, you've got all these different companies are making all these different all the same thing, and basically trying to make it look as best and sound as best as possible so that people will buy it. And you know, it's a very shark infested water market trying to get all this stuff sold and bought and idea, and you know, just, I mean, Sony, they don't have any sort of MP3 capabilities that people are talking about. All they have is the PlayStation. You know, it's like with Sega with Sonic, and the fact that recent Sonic games sold shit is because Sega only has Sonic. I mean, Sega had a whole fucking back catalogue of stuff they could delve into, games they could pick up and play, you know, make new ones of and stuff. I mean, look at Codemasters. They made Toy Box Turbos, which is basically Micro Machines. But it's just annoying. It's like, well, you can do this sort of stuff, but you've got to, you know, have a bit of thought into it. Otherwise, you might as well just cut whole the business in half and admit defeat, basically, unless they want to sort of do some sort of merger with, I don't know, Sony merger with Samsung, you know, Korea and Japan mixed together, maybe. I think Samsung's from Korea, I have no clue. I'm just talking out my arse. But no, I say, maybe they could solve it, I don't know. It's tricky trying to think about this sort of stuff. But I mean, I hope Sony pulls it out, but technology has only gone so far, there's only so much stuff we can do that you know. I mean, I was looking at an article today about, what the fuck is it? Diablo 3. I think I've probably got in the news articles later. But like, there's updates and stuff, and there's new gear and new armor. And I'm like, well, we got the expansion that came with some stuff, but once I'd beaten the game, I'd beat the devil and started over again. It's like, well, how many times do people want to start over again just going through the same dungeons with random loot drops of gear that might be shit or might be good? It's like, well, you're still doing the same shit again and again and again and again and again. It's weird. I mean, I can say that, but it makes me sort of hypocritical because that's what I plan to do in a few months with Final Fantasy once I get to the sort of level that I want to be at. Oh, God. I'm so tired. I've been playing Final Fantasy non-stop, and it's literally buzzing all around my brain. I'm literally watching loads of Sword Art online, trying to pick up tips and, you know, getting immersed in the show again. And, you know, such a really good show. So, you know, if you're playing an MMO at the moment, you know, watch Sword Art Online, learn bits and pieces from it. I'm sort of making comparisons at sort of level. I've done that. And it's quite good because I started listening back to Limit Break Radio because that's the Final Fantasy 14 podcast. Go and listen to them. Really good show. Great bunch of people. But yeah, I say, you know, listening back to the old shows, so I'm like, well, now I know these places that they're talking about. I know what this means. I know what this means. So I'm like, okay, that makes sense. And it's basically just all becoming clear for me. It really is. I am going to take a break because I have been speed talking for an hour and I need a drink and some food, and hopefully I've got some chocolate left in the house, hopefully. Otherwise, I don't know, I'll have to eat fruit or some stupid shit like that. But yeah, I will be back in about 15 minutes. Nice long break for you. And I will speak to you lot again in 15 minutes. Speak to you soon. Bye.
And Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least two extra numbers and one extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we
sign.
Know for sure. Yeah. It's some sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio. All one word.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Now I'm realizing that this is all going to be on fucking podcasts. Oh boy!
I told you. I was trying to warn you the whole time,
dude. I don't care. I'm voluntarily Skyping into you. Use this to make a promo. I don't care. No, dude. Like I said, my fiance doesn't listen. Dutch got drunk one night. Well, he gets drunk every night, but he got drunk one night, and I used it as a promo. Why not use this into a promo? I give everyone permission to turn this audio into a promo. I don't care.
He also used Drunk Me for a promo, too, if you remember.
Punch JJ, it. You play it every week.
I do. Folks at home, Radio Gold like this happens every Sunday and Thursday at midnight on 360 on 420, only on MoreLikeRadio.com.
The Elvis and Alfred Show, Thursdays, MoreLikeRadio.com, 5 to 7. I'm Elvis Cage.
I'm Alfred.
I'm Jameson, and on the phone...
It's Bill. I'm phoning it in.
Oh, he's phoning it in. Coming to you live from the Halfpenny Pub in Sayville.
That's right, punk rock music.
Independent music.
And all the rest of the things that we speak about.
Crazy party stuff.
Yeah. Here on MoreLikeRadio.com.
And ElvisAndAlfred.com, 24-7.
Yeah!
The Elvis and Alfred Show.
Now deep beat, cause the V is so deep. An interesting show, it won't ever put you to sleep. It has all the content that you want, the best show on the planet. I ain't even gonna front. Deep beat, bringing it again and again. Don't ever miss a show and make sure that you're always tuned in. Hosted by my man Mike and Ski Ray. Keep it turned up on the mic all day. Ask me what's my favorite podcast, I say Deep Beat. Listen to the show while you're sipping on your tea. It's the hottest of the high. You ain't gotta trust me. Tune into the show and you will definitely see. With Mike and Ski Ray, you can't go wrong. The biggest show ever, bigger than a King Kong. Listen up and don't ever, ever miss a beat. It's Deep V. Remember that the V is so deep.
What's up, everybody? Deep V Podcast.
Deep V.
Be sure to listen to us Fridays at 8 Eastern on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Yep.
Also download us on iTunes.
Just type in Deep V.
Deep V, your favorite podcast. Favorite podcast.
If you're sick and tired of getting pro wrestling only after it's gone through the PG filter, then it's time you were introduced to Combat Zone Wrestling. Celebrating 15 years of ultra violence, Combat Zone Wrestling will give you all the high stakes, high flying, and hard hitting pro wrestling you can handle. Check out their live event schedule, get information on their next iPay-per-view, skim the roster, or shop for CZW merch right now at CZWrestling.com. That's CZWrestling.com. No dance segments, no endless talk of downloading apps, just wrestling. Combat Zone Wrestling, the ultra violent underground.
You know, the way at the start of the last episode, we went through different nationalities, you know, and now people know that we're Irish.
And now people know that we're all shite at accents as well.
But I was wondering, is it prejudice to not make fun of, like, all of the countries?
What are you going for?
We'll name check every country on the show, that way no one can be mad about that.
I could do Swedish.
Oh, yeah, fun.
Birdie birdie.
And to the Italians.
Papa the poopy.
Papa the poopy. Okay.
To the Mexicans.
Hey, man.
Spain. Singapore.
Oh. Amazing.
Australians.
Crocodile Dundalk. No.
You big loop, are you?
No, that sounds like Limerick or something.
That's right, we never slag off the Irish, do we? Someone put a bomb in me potato. There you go. OSW review. All Irish, all racist.
More like radio, less like crap.
Oh, hello there. I didn't see you come in. This is Mitch, producer of Dutch and Royce. I just wanted to take a quick moment to remind you why we are better than you.
I took the turkey baster and put it in the glass and sucked up as much pee as I could. I took the turkey baster, after lubricating it in my asshole, and put it up as far as I could in my asshole, and I was repeatedly thrusting it in and out while jacking off and screaming out a boy's name and moaning to make it feel like it was real.
I can't believe.
I then imagined
Sean, did you write this?
I then imagined in my head him screaming, "I'm coming!" And I squeezed the turkey baster ball, shooting all my pee into my ass. I kept taking the turkey baster out and filling it with more pee and shooting it deep into my asshole, making it feel like it was a huge come.
Listen to Dutch and Royce live Tuesdays from 10 to midnight, only on morelikeradio.com.
What kind of store only has one thing on the shelf? T-Fury does. Now before you complain, listen to how it works. Each day a brand new t-shirt design becomes available for only 24 hours, then it's replaced by a new design the following day. They're all submitted by freelance artists too, so they're completely unique. They come in multiple colors and sizes, and they're all inspired by nerd and geek culture. And for only $11 per shirt, you can't go wrong. Check out today's limited edition design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs. Bookmark it and check back daily for new designs at tinyurl.com/MLRTEES.
If you weren't able to catch the last Hippo Juice show, here's what you probably missed.
I just keep thinking to myself, and it makes me giggle, that every time I hear the story, I imagine it was Ray Romano in the same situation.
Oh, Deborah.
Kind of does.
I barely touched her. Come on. Oh. Oh, it was my brother. Look at him. He's bigger than me. Come on. Oh, come on, everybody loves me. I got twins. Come on. Oh, let's go Home Depot. Come on. Fess up, Raymond. You know it was you. They got you on video.
Anybody want soup?
Ma, come on. We're talking over here.
Oh, man. I'm dying. So if you learn anything from Hippo Juice, remember, Ray Romano allegedly punched his wife in an elevator.
Right.
We don't report the news accurately. We report half of it. Whatever. It's still news. So fuck you guys. This is more entertaining than some football player.
Listen to the Hippo Juice show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on morelikeradio.com.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
Well, that's where they started, yeah. But a priest biting another priest's ear off?
Colorado Dickens said, did you see the dude in Texas who beat the minister to death with an electric guitar? You hear about that?
An electric? What, do they don't have? What, do they have a slide guitar down there? They don't have electric guitars down there?
It was Monsignor Hendrix who did it. Wow. I just made that up. Thanks, Colorado Dickens.
Father Clapton. Goes ape shit.
Brother Becht.
Friar Ray Vaughan goes ape shit in church. Now that's a big news.
Rabbi Little Richards.
We'll go with Keith Richards.
Father Van Halen. Yeah, very nice. Yeah, Eddie Van Halo.
The Conti and Kenny Show. Monday nights, 7 to 10, on morelikeradio.com.
Listen to More Like Radio every Tuesday night for the answer to this question that's on everybody's lips.
What does the drunk say?
On your fuck. Oof. Ah.
What the drunk say?
I'm not one that judges penises.
Blah, 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 blah.
I can't understand what.
What does the drunk say?
Do it in a bourbon barrel. I am all over the goddamn place. Okay. Oh, let me see this from
What the drunk say?
I will fucking do that. I think that's enough of the racism there. Okay.
What does the drunk say?
Alcohol by Volume, Tuesdays 6 to 8 p.m. only on morelikeradio.com.
High Society Radio is now part of morelikeradio.com.
Who's all part of the More Like Radio cavalcade of stars? Oh, who are you joining there?
Oh, well, Hippo Juice, they're the soul behind More right. Like Radio. And we're jumping on there. High Society Radio, that is.
What other kind of shows are over there, though?
Oh, there's plenty. There's just a roster that's ridiculous. There's 360 on 420. Mm-hmm. There's a gentleman show. There's Ain't Social Gamer Radio. There's the Red Show. There's Daytime Divas.
Okay, so you're not out there by yourself in the cold anymore.
No.
You're fucking with...
A family.
Yeah, a real family. A family of gangsters.
Take the edge off. MoreLikeRadio.com. It's like rap music you can understand.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
Yeah, we can't sell Betsy's milk to nobody. Absolutely nobody.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
You can't sell that milk.
Why is that? Like, I can't sell that milk.
I got pain. I got pain.
I got pain.
I'ma smell it.
Dude fucking takes the bread, shoves it in her ass, shits it back out, puts it in the case. That's how you wrap the bread.
You can jiggle your fist around in there without hitting the sides.
The Orange Room, 9 to 11, Saturday nights on More Like Radio.
Tonight at 10, it's a tale of lust, seduction, and murder on Sexy Betrayals. Then at 7, some like their murder with a side of sexy biscuits on Southern Fried Homicide. But now, get ready for lust, betrayal, and murder on Hot Load Case Files.
Oh, yeah, three of the best shows in a row.
Is the lube over there?
Yeah, I got lube right here.
Well, get over here, big guy.
Yeah. What the hell? Yeah, hi, we aren't getting our informative murder porn? No, none of our channels that have informative murder porn appear to be working. Yeah, the screen just says, how do you tame a horse in Minecraft? Yes, we do have children. A what? A parental lock? Stan! How do you tame a horse in Minecraft?
What?
What is Minecraft and how do you tame a horse in it?
You guys don't need to be watching that stuff.
Oh, come on! You can't block your parents from watching informative murder porn! What, you think if we watch shows about married people killing each other all the time, we're gonna go out and do it? That's stupid! I'm not gonna go out and kill your mom just because I watch Investigative Discovery, Stan. It'd be impossible to clear away all the DNA evidence anyway. Even if I hired someone else to kill her, I'd have to kill that person too, because 96% of the time, that person eventually tells the truth. I've thought this through a lot. Stan, you're a lousy kid. I wish Jaden Smith was my son.
And welcome back to part two of Antisocial Game Radio, live on MoreLikeRadio.com. I say, if you ever want to get in touch with the show, you want to Skype in, have a chat with me, basically, as soon as I scroll down the page, there we go. Yeah, you basically just add Antisocial Game Radio to your Skype account, to your contacts. You can email the show, it's antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. Join the Facebook group, it's facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. And also like the Facebook page, facebook.com/antisocialgameradio. Gamer Radio, rather.
And don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter at MLR Gamer Radio. Just a whole bunch of... Literally, just, I'm surprised. It's weird, right? We get the whole thing over Christmas is like nothing. And now we get all this stuff. I mean, some good stuff, bad stuff. And I have some bad stuff here. Bad for me thinking about this. And it just makes me... Makes me think like that. This is from Eurogamer. UK's first esports arena opens in London next month. Fuck off, esports, useless bunch of arseholes. See, that's the thing. You know, I said before the break, I said about PvP. I think I actually went into it. I can't manage my brain, so fried. All I'm thinking about is Final Fantasy. Not addicted, honest. But no, I was like, well, PvP, it's like, well, you're just basically sitting there pushing buttons. And this is the same shit. They're making... Which one is it? It's even though... I'll read the article first, and then I'll get into my big diatribe and bullshit talk and stuff. While esports is big business... Big business in North America and East Asia, where thousands pack out stadiums to watch professional gamers compete at live events. In the UK, it's fair to say that esport has yet to take off in a live setting, at least. But in March, UK esports will take its first step on the long live event success with the opening of our first esports arena. View Cinemas has partnered with G-Infinity to transform part of the View Fulham Broadway multiplex into a dedicated 600-person esports venue to be called the G-Infinity Arena. 600 people? Is that all? Really? Oh, that takes the piss. That's quite funny, though. It really is, because we've got thousands of these arseholes who watch this shit in America and fucking Korea and stuff, and we get 600 people. The venue can accommodate more than 1,000 people over the course of a weekend and more than 25,000 a season. It includes a player lounge for up to 50 gamers. G-Infinity owns entrances, a ticket hall, accommodation tickets, machines, and a confectionery stall. Yay, let me get you sweeties. G-Infinity is set to open its doors in March. It's the first of what's called the 2015 G-Infinity Championships. Gamers due to be at play include Blizzard's Hearthstone, EA's FIFA, and Valve's first-person shooter Counter-Strike Global Offensive. Over $500,000 in prize money has been earmarked. The more followers in esports events. The move follows an esports event last year at the Copper Box Arena in London's Olympic Park. I'm from London. I've never heard of the Copper Box Arena, which attracted 4,000 spectators. I can't fucking stand esports. It's a waste of damn time. I mean, I'm going to Pokemon Nationals and whatever, but I would never sit down and say, yeah, come and watch me play. Come, you know, I'm like, well, go and fucking play the game yourself, you lazy arseholes. And that's what we all do. You know, why sit down and watch someone play when you can play the fucking game yourself? Sports in general, it's like, well, you're sitting down, you're watching people throw a ball, kick a ball, hit a ball with a racket. Why don't you just fucking do it yourself? I just can't stand all this esports bullshit. I just can't stand sports in general. It's like, well, if I want to go and kick a ball around, I will. I've got no problem kicking a ball. I'm perfectly healthy. I'm healthier than I've ever been. And esports stuff, it's like, it's not a sport. It's arsehole sitting down, pressing buttons. It's the same shit that we do day in, day out. It's like, well, we're all playing the same game. It's like, I don't know. You know what would make me laugh? They did the esports version of fucking like some RPG or something. You know, I don't know. That's the thing. I just don't get the whole point of it. And people are putting money into this. It's like, you know, people with lots of money do stupid shit. I mean, they're putting all this money into this stupid crap. It's like, well, there's no need for it. It's a fucking joke. It really is. But I say I will move on to the next subject. Let's have a look at what we've got. There was something about Mortal Kombat I think I've got here. Let me try and find this. Ah, here we go. Yes, here we go. Yes. This is something I saw earlier. Stop the video from... IGN, bunch of arseholes. This is from IGN, as you can tell. Mortal Kombat 10 granted permission to use Spawn. Yeah, Spawn could be included in Mortal Kombat 10 lineup after a recent reveal by Todd McFarlane. McFarlane, interviewed with GamerFit Nation, sought a new deal with Warner Brothers, granted the company limited access to Spawn for use in its games. Yeah, this is with Mortal Kombat X coming in April, a Spawn appearance could actually be possible. And nothing's confirmed yet, however, McFarlane added, I don't know if they're ever going to use it. They might just squat on it. But McFarlane wanted to expand Spawn beyond just video games, so it might be seeing more of the character in general. A new Spawn writer was announced at the Image Expo last month. I am actually a big fan of Spawn. The movie was shit. Let's face it, but the special effects were not bad, not too bad. But I mean, the costume looked pretty cool. But yeah, I like Spawn. I mean, I've read the comics and like a whole bunch of stuff. But yeah, I think Spawn was in the fuck was it? Soul Blade. I mean, yeah, Soul Edge, whatever the fuck the game was called. I think he was like one of the Soul Calibur. Was I saying is it Soul Blade? It was Soul Edge. And it was Soul Calibur. Yeah, it's one of those games. But yeah, I mean, they talk about saying Spawn, which would be great. As a you think about it, it's probably going to be if we do get it, it's probably going to be as DLC rather than actually in the main main roster. Especially this far down the line with Mortal Kombat coming out in, 2 months? Yeah. Before I go to the States, we get Mortal Kombat 10. I can't wait. I'm getting that as soon as possible. I love Mortal Kombat. But they talk about Predator as well. And I thought, how cool would that be? I mean, I know... I know I was talking about... fuck it, I was trying to think now. Hopefully they wouldn't do like a sort of alien as well, because I mean that'd be pretty shitty. I mean, they had an alien versus Predator game, it was terrible. But yeah, having Predator in the game, you think about all different things he could do. That's what I'm saying. It's sort of having the alien in it would be terrible. But you had Predator with the guns and the weapons and the wrist blades. Predator would be a great character as well as Spawn. So two DLC characters there. Already, I mean, we had Freddy Krueger and Scorpion was in the DC fighting one, Injustice Gods Among Us. He was in that as a downloadable character, and then Freddy Krueger was in the last Mortal Kombat game we got. So that could be really good if we get Spawn, and you know, the amount of moves and shit he could do, it could be awesome. I'm a big fan of Spawn and be great to play as. You know, spawning the games. All right, what we got next? Let's have a look. Let's go to something from the top of the list here. Nope. Trying to find stuff that's sort of relevant and fun to talk about. One sec. Oh, here we go. Yeah, I was talking about Sony and about Sega. This was like from a couple of weeks ago. Sega to offer 300 staff voluntary retirement as focuses on smartphone and PC online games. Let's read the main story first because there's an update on it. Sega will offer a sizable amount of staff voluntary retirement. In a note issued today, the Japanese game company warned about 300 employees will be solicited for voluntary retirement as part of its online ongoing restructuring. Voluntary retirement is often used by an employer who anticipates layoffs and wants to reduce the number of affected employees by offering additional incentives to those who retire sooner than planned. So I'm guessing, is that like the older members of the staff? Maybe. Sega of America appears to be hit particularly hard. The company will move its North American office from San Francisco to Southern California as part of a downsizing of the business that will run from its month from this month to early summer. 120 jobs are likely to be lost, however, between the 9th of February and the end of March. Apparently, Sega of America's video game release schedule will not be affected by the move. Neither will Sonic Boom television series currently airing on the Cartoon Network. So, as you say, I mean, supposedly the Sonic Boom games are shit. I have no idea about the TV show. I haven't actually bothered to watch it. I haven't really given a shit about Sonic since he was a resistance fighter, and that was a great show. But if Cartoon Network's paying Sega to use Sonic, or Sega's spending money on the Sonic Boom TV show, then they should stop spending money on the Sonic Boom TV show. If Sega's flipping the bill for this, they should stop. But if Cartoon Network's doing it, then keep it going because they're paying revenue and all this sort of stuff. But if Sega's losing money and they want to sort all this shit out, they need to sort something out. They really do. Otherwise, they're just basically going to go bankrupt. Sega is on our drive for increased profits and is focused on digital games, particularly the smartphone and PC online gaming, which it identifies as a growth area. Here's the corporate that will speak. Voluntary retirements will be solicited in the aforementioned businesses to be withdrawn or consolidated and downsized, while at the same time personal and repositioned in digital games and growth areas, mainly as development personnel, in order to establish a structure which can be constantly generating profits. The purpose of this measures is to improve the business efficiency of the group. So basically, they want to keep hold of the key staff members, the good ones, that is, that make all the good stuff, and put them in the areas where they know they can make some money off this shit. Because Sega's going down the toilet and they're trying to hold on. Literally, they're on a sinking ship and they're trying to patch the holes and chuck buckets of water over the side as they go. And basically losing staff, trying to consolidate, move stuff. Yeah, it's going to be a tricky time for Sega, but very soon they'll just be on a raft in the middle of the ocean getting surrounded by sharks. That's pretty much what's going to be the future for Sega. But I'll carry on reading, there's more to this article. Sega recently released Creative Assembly's Alien Isolation, which sold 1 million copies. Sports Interactive Football Manager 2015, Relic Entertainment's real-time strategy company of heroes. Ardeen's Assault, the ill-fated Sonic Boom, and a raft of mobile games based on its franchises, such as the Super Monkey Ball, Crazy Taxi. Yeah, I love Crazy Taxi. See, Crazy Taxi, ladies and gents, where are we going to get a new Crazy Taxi from? Just, you know, give us a brand new Crazy Taxi game with new characters and a new area for mobile gaming, for you put on the iPhone, the iPhone or iPad, you know. Give us a new fucking Crazy Taxi. Make that literally, and you know, if you put some money into it and get some of the music back, you know, give whoever the fuck did the song for it, you know the song. I'm not going to sing, obviously. But yeah, I say, you know, give us a new fucking Crazy Taxi. You know, if you do, you know, want to make something, Shenmue 3. Fucking give us Shenmue. Sell the rights to somebody who makes Shenmue 3, like EA or Activision. And say, yeah, we want Shenmue 3 to finish off the fucking thing, you know, as their last dying breath before Sega finally croaks. Upcoming games include Creative Assembly's Total War Attila, Total War Arena, and Total War Battle Kingdoms, another Football Manager game, and the Western release of Yakuza 5. Sega Corp, the division of Sega's Sammy Holdings, responsible for video games and amusement machines, had just 100 million yen, or around £500,000 of its capital as of, wow, shit, really? As of the end of 2014. It's unclear whether Sega of Europe is affected by the redundancies. We asked for comment. Sega Corp still expects to make a profit for the current financial year, but it's a smaller one than the previous year. We'll know more on the 12th of February when the company... Yeah, we've got an update on this. Yes. There will be limited redundancies at Sega of Europe, the company has told Eurogamer. We are currently consultation with a limited number of staff in the European publishing business and will be allowed to confirm decisions regarding any potential redundancies in the coming weeks, a spokesperson said. The statement suggests UK-based Sega-owned developers, Creative Assembly, and Sports Interactive should emerge relatively unscathed from parent company Sega Corp's global restructuring plan. And it just basically goes on about it and stuff. But yeah, it's the usual downsizing, moving, trying to save stuff that's making them money. It's basically what I said about what Sony's doing with their technology and stuff. What we got here? Let's have a look. Where was that thing I saw earlier? I saw. One sec. Is that it? One sec. It was. Here we go. Yeah. Yeah, here we are. New Rock Band is in development for the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. So, I never got into this. I mean, I've got no rhythm whatsoever. That's why I don't dance. Plus, I'm like 6'4 and have like size 15 feet. Yeah, I try and jump on a dance, so I'm going to go right through it or through the fucking roof. A new Rock Band game is in development for the PlayStation 4 Xbox One, according to a report from Bloomberg, which, while credited a person on... credited to a person familiar with the plan, the Bloomberg reports corroborates recent speculation that Harmonix is planning to relaunch the series as it just started adding new DLC to Rock Band 3 after a 21-month hiatus. January saw new songs from Arctic Monkeys, Avenged Sevenfold, Foo Fighters as well. Just this Tuesday, Harmonix added Tenacious D, Rise of the Phoenix, and Weezer's Back to the Shack on the to the playlist. Harmonix also recently surveyed fans about what they'd like to see in a new Rock Band title. When pressed for comment, Harmonix offered Harmonix offered Eurogamer the following statement. We're excited by how enthusiastic our fans have been in regards to our most recent DLC releases, and we think it's awesome that people are speculating about the future of the franchise. While we don't have anything to announce, hundreds of thousands of unique users are still actively playing Rock Band games each month. The passion our fans have shown for Rock Band over the years suggests that the Rock truly hasn't died, and we always been clear that we'd love to return to the franchise with the time when the time is right. So probably give it a couple of years, to be honest. That's my opinion. But, as reported to the, by Bloomberg, Doug Krutz, analyst at Stat Tracking from Cohen & Co. noted that instrumental video games made up 18% of video game retail sales in the US in 2008, but now the genre accounts for less than 1%. Could Harmonix resurrect the glory days of the virtual band? The last Rock Band game, 2012's Rock Band Blitz, was designed to be played with a controller and arguably the special spiritual successor to Amplitude more than a proper Rock Band game. The music game studio is currently plugging away its successfully kickstarted HD remake of Amplitude. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, for my sake, I would love to see the end of all this music rhythm shit, because it just means a whole load of plastic instruments. And I don't know. I've never been able to get into the whole. I mean, I think back to the episode of South Park where. You know, they're all playing Rock Band or guitar. They're playing Guitar Hero, and Randy's like, "Well, why don't you play a real instrument?" I mean, that's my same thing. It's like when I say about esports, just go and play the fucking sport yourself. So watching people do it, I was like, "Well, if I wanted to play guitar, I'd play a real one." And just pushing buttons, I do it on a controller. I mean, I think about like a guitar, you know, a piano on a guitar. It's like, well, it's the same fucking shit with a controller, but. I don't know. I've just never been a fan of the whole music games. I say if they come back, then that might be good. But do you really want the whole? I say, do we really want the whole battle out now between Activision and Activision and EA with the Guitar Hero, Rock Bands fighting again. I don't really want that. It's like, well, we got so many different versions of Guitar Hero. It was like several like Rock Bands, and there was we got DJ Hero and all this sort of stuff. It's just I don't know. Even though I didn't play it, I'm burned out from all this stuff, because I mean, whenever I play my Xbox 360. I look through the DLC and anything funny stuff I was playing, and literally it was just tons and tons of this fucking music rhythm shit, and that's all I would see, and it'd just be a pain in the ass. It really would. But I don't know, if it comes back, then it could be okay. It's been a few years, it's been like 2-3 years. I don't know. I mean, if they want to bring it back, they're probably going to make a decision. Let's say this Kickstarter for Amplitude. If that does well, then they're going to bring it back. If it doesn't, then, I mean, there's so many things going on with Kickstarters at the moment. There's people, creating them, and they're just not panning out, and it's just, I don't know. I mean, it does make me wonder, though. I mean, off the topic for music ban, it's like, well, all these Kickstarters that dump all these companies, where's all the money they're fucking making from these games? You know, it's just, maybe that's what's, I mean, as I said about Sony, it was like, well, you know, don't make TVs for this bit if they're not going to sell here or there. You know, say TVs don't sell well in Germany or some stupid shit like that. So you make less TVs to send to Germany. That could be the same with this, with the music rhythm games. It's like, well, people are burnt out from it, so just people stop making it. So either don't make so many or don't make it at all, basically. Here we go, something different. One sec. Sorry, I'm so gassy tonight. Valve to debut new VR hardware at GDC next week, along with the final Steam controller and new living room devices. Because GDC's next week. Valve is going to debut a slew of new hardware at GDC. This includes Steam machines with the final Steam controller, new living room devices, and a previously unannounced Steam VR hardware system. Valve has previously revealed prototypes of its VR hardware to a limited audience, but reports of it have been mum for quite some time. At one point, Valve even was backing Oculus Rift before the popular VR company was published by Facebook for $2 billion. So Valve is currently looking for developers to create VR content. So basically, they've got the tech, but they don't have any content, and that's going to take some serious work. Interested parties can sign up for a demo at GDC. Last year, Steam grew to 125 million active accounts worldwide. Its market now consists of 4,500 games and 400 million pieces of user-generated content. The GDC marks Steam's 13th birthday. I don't know. I mean, I'm interested to see where they're going with this technology now, because I'm sort of thinking more about it and how it could be used in the real world. But the VR stuff could be interesting if they have the content, which they're looking for. Oculus Rift could be good if it has the content. It's just basically you've got to make the content there for us to want to give a shit about it. It's like, well, you can make this stuff, but unless we care, we're not going to buy it or get involved with it. And there will be the usual... the vacuum of, okay, what do you want to use? What do you want to use, the Oculus Rift, or do you want to use the Steam VR? Basically, time will tell. It's basically down to how it works and the content that we get. So it's one of those things. What we got next? Let's have a look. Monster Hunter, yes. The game I would have got into if it wasn't for Final Fantasy. 12 more for me talking about Final Fantasy times ahead before the show even ends. Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate has shipped over 3 million copies worldwide, with the series selling 32 million in total, most of that in Japan. Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate has sold over 3 million copies to retailers worldwide, Capcom has announced. The series has been massively popular in Japan since its inception. I was going to do the Inception music, in 2004, though it's historically failed to spark much interest in the West. It's doing better this time round, as Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate placed fourth in the UK game sales last week, where it saw a 95% increase. Shit, really? How bad? Not, sorry, I'll finish this thing. Where it saw a 95% increase over its predecessor, Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate. So, there must have been something really good with this one, because it increased 95%. I'm like, what? How shit did Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate do if Monster Hunter 4 is doing better? Because it just makes me laugh. Eurogamer Monster Hunter expert Dan Pearson absolutely loved the latest entry, which he called the series at its approachable best in his Monster 4 Ultimate review. Yeah, they just basically go on to talk about bullshit. Yeah, I mean, I really did want to get into Monster Hunter. My dad's wanted to get into Monster Hunter for his Wii a couple of years back. But yeah, I had the first Monster Hunter on my PlayStation 2. I think it was on PlayStation 2, yeah, because it was like, well, you need to be online. and I didn't do too much with it. It seemed fun and stuff. You know, it was sort of MMO-ish. But, you know, I just... I don't know. I never really got into it. I mean, it's more mobile gaming. And I mean, when I'm sort of out with my 3DS and we're picking up, like, you know, the passes, street pass stuff, I mean, I look at the thing because I want to do the little puzzles. I do look at the other bits that we're getting, like, the, you know, other people playing. I do see a lot of Monster Hunter stuff. So people are out there playing Monster Hunter. I just sort of never really bothered to, you know, give much of a shit about it, to be honest. I don't know. I mean, it could be good. I don't know. I mean, I need to watch some videos on it, because that would make me interested and make me give more of a shit, basically. I have this from Game Informer. Sid Meier's Starships, dated and priced and for a March release. I say it's weird, right? I'm really excited for this game because it looks awesome, but I'm not going to be able to play it unless I steal my dad's iPad, I think. You've colonized an alien world and identified your preferred affinity in civilization beyond Earth. Now it's time for the next chapter. Sid Meier's Starship ties into Beyond Earth, taking the colonies of Earth beyond Earth into space. You'll pick out out of the affinity. Affinities. Purity, supremacy, harmony to guide your federation. Like civilization titles, you need to build units, manage resources, and research technology. And you won't need to wait that long to do it. Sid Meier's Starships arrives on PC, Mac, and iOS on March 12th. So 2 weeks from now, I think. For the price of just under $15. Yes, I mean, it's coming out. I mean, it's coming out on iOS. So will it do one of the newer iPods? Because I know I need to get myself a new iPod eventually when this one breaks. But if it does, and I'll pick it up on that. I mean, I don't know. I might just sort of, you know, give my dad some money and just say, yeah, buy this for me and I'll play, you know, I'll play it. It could be good. Yeah, here we go. It was some Kickstarter stuff. I'll just scroll right past it. Keep scrolling past it again because I can't find what I'm just looking at. I'm sort of... here we go, yes. There we go. Yeah, this is from Eurogamer. Oh, one sec. Oh, fucking hell, just no, keyboard. Underworld Ascension Kickstarter calls for $600,000. The Ultima Underworld designer Paul Nureff has launched a Kickstarter for a new game in a series called Underworld Ascendant. Nureff has set a $600,000 crowdfunding goal to complete the PC fantasy role-playing game. With its 3D visuals and player-driven world, the 1992 game Ultimate Underworld is credited with influences the likes of Thief, Deus Ex, Bioshock, and Skyrim. It was developed by Looking Glass, the studio founded by Nureff that went on to make PC's classics System Shock and Thief. Underworld Ascendant is described as the next-gen sequel to both Ultimate Underworld and Ultimate Underworld 2. So... Ultimate Underworld 3, Ascendant, colon. Nureff has joined forces with some of the developers behind the original Underworld games, such as designer Tim Stelmach, to form new independent studio, Otherside Entertainment. In the Kickstarter pitch video, there is some prototype footage of Underworld Ascendant, just around the 1 minute mark. So yeah, this game could be good. I mean, I've got the video here, but I'm gonna have to watch that after I do the show. But it's nice that the Kickstarters, you know, people have got good ideas, but I don't really feel it from these Kickstarters these days. There's just sort of so much I don't know, it's like, it just seems like so much work. It's like, well, where are these developers, where are the publishers, where are the publishers who want to spend this money? Are we running out of publishers? I know all these developers are shutting down. I mean, Sega's scaling down and all this sort of stuff, but I don't know. I was talking about tech demos and stuff. We got this one. If I click the right button. Oh, there we go. There we go. Yep. Unreal Engine 4 tech demo looks unnervingly realistic. When Epic unveiled Unreal Engine 4 in early 2013, it wanted to show off all tech bells and whistles. Its infiltrator demo had whirling ships, flying sparks, and a complex light sources and plenty of explosions. It looked cool, to be frank. It did. I watched this. It was one of the ones that I always remember because it's really, really good. But it also looked like a video game, which I thought was the whole point because it's, you know, it's epic, Unreal. It's their Unreal Engine. Set in a grim world of warring space marines, it didn't exactly equate to the type of thing we'd ever see in our ordinary lives. Yet one man, level designer and 3D artist Benoit Derriere, who worked on Dishonored, great game, I love Dishonored, has single-handedly created one of the most shockingly realistic pieces of scenery ever modelled in 3D. And yeah, I've watched this demo and it looks so real. It's amazing. Says, while only a tech demo, his new Unreal Paris video takes us through an elegant flat that could easily pass as reality. So long as you don't touch anything, this real-time presentation of the static scenery may not be a game on its own, but it certainly suggests how incredible a big-budget version of Gone Home could look on this tech. Derriere has worked on similar projects with other engines. Back in November, he released a video showing off a posh apartment he made in Unity 4.6. That doesn't look as quite as impressive as this this latest feat. However, now you can please have. Oh yeah, now yeah. Oh sorry. Now can we please have more games set in swish Parisian apartments? Well, yeah, Broken Sword, I'm guessing. So I'm slowly running out of time. So let's find some more stuff to tell you about. Here we go. Yeah, this is to do with Mass Effect 4. By the way, Dragon Age Inquisition has not set a template for Mass Effect 4. Responding via a post on NeoGAF, BioWare executive Aaron Flynn explained that while there were similarities in development between the two games, the next Mass Effect could feel like its own unique experience. Which I'm glad, because I like Dragon Age. I didn't get very far in it, and the story didn't really do anything for me, but it was good. You know, it was good for what it was. So hopefully when this says about Mass Effect 4 being something completely different, I'm glad, because I need more sci-fi in my life. Let's say, almost punched the computer. I mean, as I say, even though I say, you know, another Final Fantasy 14 reference, I would like it if it was more sci-fi. I mean, I'm like, well, we got the Golden Saucer, that was from 7. Now, can we get the high-tech city where, was it Laguna? The male bloke that you had in your dream sequence you played as. Can we have that city he was in at the end of the game? Can we have that in 14? Something where sci-fi and cars and floating ships and stuff. I mean, they've got airships and stuff, but I want something sort of futury techy stuff. I want some technology, not some... I mean, I don't mind the old sword and sorcery and stuff like that, but I want some technology. That would be nice. You know, sort of futuristic or postmodern something. You know, I mean, the cities that we have are nice, but there's nothing to explore. You know, I want like a big major city that I can wander around in and do stuff in. But you know, I can't read this article because I'm running out of time. I read that bit. It says, I've seen a few things, seen a few thoughts like this recently, and though I'd weigh in as much as I can right now, Flynn wrote, I have a good idea where it's coming from. All of our games are using Frostbite now. We've said the next Mass Effect and our new IP, but but I won't expand on that yet. Uses some of the technology from DA Dragon Age. We've been enjoying building larger arenas, areas that can you can explore with less friction, so that'd be there as well. But after that, the next Mass Effect will be, and should be, drawing on its own rich and successful past more than what Dragon Age will say it should do. Which is good, because I feel more of a connection to Mass Effect with its lore and its history from playing those three games than Dragon Age ever could tell me. And Dragon Age has got like a movie and books, and so is Mass Effect, but it's like a whole bunch of stuff to do with Dragon Age, whereas I feel more of a connection to the whole Mass Effect universe. Inquisition features large open maps to explore, something that will all be present in the next Mass Effect, which we'll see return of Mass Effect 1's hulking Mako vehicle. Take the Mako, something we've already seen in prototype form. Flynn continues, we had that in Mass Effect 1, and bringing it back is more related to the feeling that we can do it much better than we did before and fulfill the original promise of that gameplay. That has nothing to do with the Dragon Age, of course, there was no cars. In fact, I'd go so far as to say that dropping this older consoles has had more impact on the overall gameplay goals of the next Mass Effect game than what Dragon Age successfully accomplished. Dragon Age Inquisition was a critical success, but it wasn't without its detractors. Common complaints centre around the number of collectible star quests in the game, for example. Yeah, it was, I got overwhelmed. I was like, well, there's this and this and this and this and that and that and that. But hopefully Mass Effect will be sort of simplified for me. We're very proud of what Dragon Age has achieved, but that does not set a template for what every other game we make needs to be, Flynn concluded. Each game franchise needs to innovate and improve their experience based on what's best for it. Not just what another game had success with because, well, that was successful. BioWare has yet to formally announce any new key details on the next Mass Effect game, which currently lacks an official title or release date. But the company has been quietly busying itself with with the project over the past couple of years and has offered a few clues in its process. At least two new alien races will feature, while the gameplay will include a greater focus on exploration. I want Mass Effect. Give me fucking Mass Effect, you cunts. I really want to play some Mass Effect. I really fucking do. I mean, I've got Time Hop on my phone. And I think it was a couple of weeks ago. Last week it was. I was looking at one. It was like, well, it's like 3 years ago. Just played the Mass Effect 3 demo. It was great. And it was like, well, wow, it's been that long since we had Mass Effect 3. And I want Mass Effect 4. So hurry up and make it. It's that time of year. We have the conventions coming up. Hopefully we hear something at E3 about Mass Effect. Because I really want some fucking Mass Effect. No more Jessica Chobot, please, this time. She can go fuck herself. Bring Shepard back or whatever. I mean, depending on how the ending went, we'll see. It's going to be on the PlayStation 4 and Xbox Ones anyway, so we'll wait and see. This pretty much wraps it up for this show this week. Thank you all for listening. But so don't forget as well, we have a new sponsor. Go to vapormania.com. In the coupon code, put in MLR, and you get 10% off your orders. Don't forget, 2 months from now, it's the third annual live event in downtown Lakeland in Florida, April 25th. So we're teaming up with Moxie LaFemme. It's going to be a great night. Get yourself down there. I'm flying out. So let's just say, as I said, for the first live event, the second live event, and now this one, if life can fly halfway across the world for this, you can get yourself across the country for this, because basically all my friends are, John's coming up from South Florida, Royce and Marie aren't going anywhere, they're staying where they are, everyone's coming to this place, to this event, and you should too. So basically, don't be a lazy arsehole and get yourself to this event. But yeah, I've got my Final Fantasy thing this weekend, which I'm going to talk about next week, which I can't wait. Pokemon's still months away, it's after the fucking live anyway, so that doesn't really matter. If you do want to get in touch with the show, Skype in anytime you want, Antisocial Game Radio, on one word on Skype. Email us antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. Join the Facebook groups, facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. Also, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/antisocialgameradio. And follow the show, MLR Game Radio, on Twitter. As it's Tuesday, we have a great lineup coming up. Alcohol by Volume is up next after I finish talking. And then we have My Time Now with Johnny Five. And after that, finishing out the night on Tuesday, we have Dutch and Roy. So don't forget, Hippo Juice tomorrow, 360 on 420. Elvis and Alfred on Thursday, Cousin Joe. A whole bunch of stuff coming on the show, on the station. Keep listening, people, and I will see you next week.
fucking Ashley brought anything to the table?
Oh my god, what a bag of burden that British piece of shit was. Holy shit.
A woman can pilot.
From everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or northwest, or northeast or east. Occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain, rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor, becoming moderate.